Well, maybe you can tell, but this is a different kind of sermon than we have normally. We've done this a couple of times before where we preach together. And so the next 3 weeks, we're going to be doing that. It's called Two Looks at the Book, and where we will look at a particular story and we'll look at some maybe different ways that we can understand it. And so that's what we're going to be doing the next couple of weeks. We always kind of have fun doing this. We hope you enjoy it. But today we're going to look at the story of the 10 lepers. Not leopards, but lepers.
Nobody thought it was leopards.
Sure they did. I have that southern speech that, you know, my R's don't come out quite right. But so it's a story about the 10 lepers. It comes from the Gospel of Luke. And it's this is a story that's unique to the Gospel of Luke. This story doesn't appear in any of the other gospel stories. So you want to read it for us?
Yeah, absolutely. This is from Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. On their way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." Go ahead. Sorry. This is God's word for God's people.
Okay.
Thanks be to God.
So one of the things that you need to remember about the Gospel of Luke is there is a turning point that happens in the Gospel of Luke where Jesus sets his eyes towards Jerusalem and he is on a journey to Jerusalem. So it's in 9:51. It says Jesus sets his face on his way, and it's used in some different places. So on his way to Jerusalem, and it's used in some different places. And sometimes we hear about it in different ways. When you read the Gospels, you are a reader. You learn things really two different ways. You learn things that Jesus tells the disciples, right? Jesus said and tells a story or tells a parable. And so we learn that way. But we also learn as the narrator gives us information that sometimes the disciples don't have. And this particular passage starts that way. We as a reader are told that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem. And really all of Luke from 9:51 forward is about Jesus' journey to Jerusalem and where his destination and his purpose awaits him. And he, during that journey, reminds the disciples several times that we're journeying to Jerusalem so that I can basically do what I'm supposed to do what I'm here to do. And so it's just important that we remember that this is all about this journey to Jerusalem. So,
and so as he's on his way, he comes across these 10 lepers who call out from him from the distance. And that's kind of a clue or an important piece of information in the scripture that they call out from a distance, because it reminds us of what it really meant for these people to be afflicted with leprosy in these times. They were considered to be unclean, both physically but also spiritually. And so they were completely disconnected from society. They couldn't go to temple. They couldn't be with their families. They often were secluded into little like colonies, or just they had to live apart from the rest of the rest of their community, the rest of the people.
One thing I wanted to add, that I mean, the idea that they had leprosy is that it was the result of some sort of sin.
Right.
Whether it was their sin or the sin of a family member or something, but that's part of why they were so ostracized. First off, it was contagious and they were unclean, but there was this idea that these people have leprosy because they have sinned.
Right. So unclean, both physically and spiritually, and as such, needed to be ritually purified in order to re-enter society. And Leviticus 14 and 15 outlines what that means and what that meant for them in their community. And so they had to be seen by a priest. A priest had to declare them to be clean for them to be able to rejoin their family and rejoin the rest of the community. And so when we read the scripture and we hear that they called out from him from a distance, it's because they weren't allowed to be close to other people. And then when he says, go and show yourselves to the priests, it's because that's what they needed to do. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more. But it's important that those are some parts of the scripture that we pull out and pay attention to.
Right. So, I mean, we look at this text, and traditionally it's used to teach us about gratitude. And a lot of times it's like, well, don't be like the other nine, be like the one, right? And it teaches us about our need to be grateful for the things that God has given us, and it's about gratitude. And I mean, I think that's an accurate interpretation as we look at it. It's interesting that it's the Samaritan, it's the non-Jew who comes back and says, thank you. We'll talk some more about this, but it's like, what happened to the other nine? Mm-hmm. Jesus is like going, hey, weren't there 10 of you?
Yeah. It's also key that it was a Samaritan, because that's really one of the whole thematic elements of the Gospel of Luke. He very much tries to highlight the inclusion of outsiders into the gospel to show that it's for everyone, that it's not just for the people of Israel, just for the Jewish people. And so many times we see in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus reaching out, showing up for healing, calling to those that the typical Jewish community would have considered outsiders.
And, you know, it's also interesting to me that the Samaritan is a part of this group, we assume, of nine other Jewish people. And I think that's a lesson for us in that when we find ourselves in adverse circumstances, a lot of times the barriers and boundaries that our world tells us exist, that they stop existing because of the difficult circumstances in which they found themselves. And so this, we're not told, but the Samaritan is a part of this 10, which included nine Jewish people. And if these were healthy Jewish people, they would never be seen together. But because of their circumstances, stereotypes and are broken down, and they're this group together.
Right. Their affliction, their problem bonds them together, and it becomes more important than any sort of cultural barrier that may have existed between them. And so, like Mike said, the traditional interpretation of this, like Miss Laura shared with the children, is gratitude. We need to remember to give thanks to God for all that God does for us, for the goodness of God. But there's also an element in this scripture that talks about faith. The faith of really the whole 10, because as we remember, they called out from a distance as Jesus is coming. And so that shows just their faith in Jesus, that they knew that he was powerful enough, that he was the one who could heal them, even if they didn't come up close to him. They really had to, as lepers, only call out from a distance. They actually were required, as they walked through the streets, to like stay 50 feet away from people and to call out unclean, unclean, anytime somebody came near, so they would know to stay away. So can you imagine what kind of life that would be for a person to have to, you know, stay away from people, constantly remind them that you were unclean? And so they were probably really desperate for this healing. And they had such faith in Jesus that even just calling out to him from the edges, that he would be able to help them, that he would be able to heal them.
And it's sort of interesting because he just looks at him and says, go show yourself to the priest. And we're not told about any healing. They're still lepers. And they turn to go and move to where the priests are so that they can receive their ritual cleansing. And we're told that they are healed along the way.
Right. But they hadn't been healed when they turned to go show themselves to the priest. They just had such faith that they would be, because Jesus had told them, go and show yourself to the priest. And so they immediately turned and went to do that. They didn't say, but wait, I'm not healed yet, right? They took it on faith that they would be, and they went and went off to do that.
And, you know, it reminds me of the story of the centurion who walks up to Jesus and says, I have a sick slave or child, various interpretations of it. And he's like, Jesus will say, well, I'll come to your house. And he goes, you don't need to do that. Just say the word. And Jesus was amazed at that faith. And so you see that same sort of faith among these 10 lepers, mm-hmm. as they turn to go, as they're still lepers. I mean, I probably would have been like, hey, what? I still got spots on me. I can't go see the priest.
Yeah. And so often when we talk about the story and we focus on that element of gratitude, it's the one that we talk about. And then the other nine, we sort of hold out as not as good, right? Because they didn't come back, like maybe that they were ungrateful. But the scripture never really tells us that they're ungrateful. I mean, Jesus asks in verses, 17 and 18, like, where are they? Weren't there 10 of you? Why didn't they come back? But he doesn't really call them ungrateful. And considering the life that they lived, there are so many reasons they could have run off and not returned to give thanks immediately. I mean, they wanted to show themselves to the priest, but also just the excitement of being able to go back to their families, to rejoin society, to not be ostracized any longer would have been really important to them and would have maybe overtaken that need to turn around and say thank you. But there's also the idea, what I think about is that they were Jews. And so when Jesus says, go and show yourself to the priest, they knew what that meant. They knew Leviticus 14 and 15. They knew the purification rituals. They understood that in order to be fully healed, that they needed to go see the priest and be declared clean. And so that ritual, that religion sort of overrode the sense of gratitude in the moment, right? I think they focused more on the business of their healing than the blessing of their healing. And I think that happens to us as well sometimes. I think we get caught up in, I mean, even like doing ministry, or we get caught up just in living our lives, and we come to church and we give thanks, we say our prayers, but it's perhaps a little more rote than the spontaneous gratitude of the 10th leper. And so we might have to think about, are we like the nine, sort of going about our business and kind of taking for granted this blessing that we have received, the amazing goodness of God? Or are we like the one? Are we like that 10th leper who is just overwhelmed with gratitude and shows it?
Right. And I think that this text, along with the text about the rich young ruler, are an important examples for us about things that we assume in Scripture. I mean, if you read this text carefully, it says the nine don't come back. It doesn't say why. And we just assume that they are somehow less grateful, that they maybe had a good reason for not coming back. And we don't know that. And so I think when we read Scripture, you need to read with an eye towards what it's telling you, but also what's not said here. Jesus doesn't say the nine didn't come back because they're ungrateful. And so, I mean, as Leanne's talked about, we don't know why they didn't come back. And so we just generally, when we look at this in the traditional interpretation, we look at this and we say, oh, I don't want to be like the nine. And that's an okay interpretation, but if you dig deeper into the text, we don't know. We're not told that the nine are not grateful. We just don't know what happens. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important that we, when we read Scripture, especially when we're studying it, that we understand what it's saying and what it's not saying, what is blank, because we can mm-hmm. just jump to this sort of assumption that they're less than grateful.
And so again, the element of the Samaritan and why that's important in the scripture comes back in, because the nine were insiders, right? And they should have understood the total healing, physical and spiritual, that was available through Jesus standing in front of them. But their attention to the details of that purification ritual took precedence over seeing that. And so they should have seen it. They should have seen the importance of Jesus and the salvation that they experienced in that moment, but they didn't. But the outsider did. The Samaritan did. He saw what maybe they should have seen, and that was a total transformation that could occur through his encounter with Jesus. And again, for us, I think we take for granted that we can experience that total transformation through an encounter with Jesus, rather than just an everyday acceptance of our salvation, which is wonderful and important and we give thanks for all the time. But do we believe, do we trust, do we turn ourselves over to be completely transformed?
The last part of the verse that we read where he says, you go off and you will be made well. The Greek word there also means saved. It's translated as salvation. And so, I mean, the implication is that this Samaritan has been completely saved. And, you know, I think about this and I think about, we're sort of the insiders, right? We're the followers of Jesus, and we understand the grace that we have been given. But I wonder if we forget really what we have been given. We kind of gloss over it, right? Oh, I'm forgiven, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with God. I got a relationship with Jesus. And we forget. We forget really what, how truly amazing this gift that we have been given is. That Jesus would come and die for us. And so I have to ask myself, am I among the nine that's just so busy doing the business of being a Christian that I'm forgetting to be grateful and recognizing the depth and the breadth of the gift that I have been given? And so that's my question for you today is, are you appropriately grateful? Do you recognize the gift that you have been given? And are we really grateful for it? Because I think it's easy for us to just get caught up in the business of our faith and forget the price that was paid, that you can be free, that you can stand and say, I am a sinner, but I am forgiven. And I think that's just, it's an important lesson for us. It's certainly, it's one to me. It's one of those things that they talk about when you point at somebody, there's three fingers pointing back at yourself. And so I look at this and I'm like, oh, I don't want to be like the nine. But I got three fingers pointing it back at me saying, well, you are. You're ungrateful because you just forget the size, this amazing gift that we've been given. So I hope this week that you'll spend some time maybe in prayer, reading in scripture, working on being grateful to God for the gift that we've been given through Jesus Christ. His work, his gift to us, so undeserved, and is the most amazing gift the world has ever received. Anything else?
That's a good sum up.
Let's pray. Almighty God, help us to recognize the amazing gift that we have received through our faith in Christ. Help us to be so grateful to you for this amazing gift, for this grace, for your compassion that has no end. Father, we ask that you would help us to go out into this world. Help us to share this great love that you have for us that we know. Help us to go out into the world and allow people to experience your love through us. Oh God, make us a grateful people. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.